the Positively Wolfy podcast. Unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. The Positively Wolfy podcast. Hello and welcome to the Positively Wolfy podcast. They call me Mr. Positivity Wolfy T. You can follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. And if you want to email the show, you can reach us at PositivelyWolfy@comcast.net. On today's show, we're going to discuss Bombs Away! Buckle up, buckaroo! And a revolutionary act. Today, I'm joined once again by my co-host, Brother Clint.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on? Welcome back to the show. Put a little tribute in the opening for our dearly departed original gangsta, New Jack. Rest in peace.
You know, I feel like they're taking away our legends on us. You know, first it was DMX, now it's New Jack. You know, it's been a rough couple weeks here.
You know, New Jack is one of those guys who, he did so many drugs and he did so much crazy shit in his career that you just... He's lived this long. Like, there's nothing that can kill New Jack. But apparently he had a heart attack, and that's it. I mean, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Stole my line. Yeah, you know, that's what 40 years of doing cocaine will do for you. You know, you don't live long. The only thing I was surprised by was that it wasn't Minnesota he died in. It was North Carolina.
Yeah, I think he was at home. So if he was still active, he would have died here, you know.
Yeah, Minnesota's taking a lot of big names. And I don't know what's in our cocaine in Minnesota, but it must be really good because, you know, like Kurt Hennig, Eddie Guerrero, Scott Weiland from the Stone Temple Pilots.
Right, Brian Pillman.
I don't know if Pillman actually died from cocaine, but...
Technically, Brian Pillman and Eddie Guerrero had like heart disease. They had like enlarged hearts or some kind of undiagnosed heart disease, but like they did a lot of drugs in their life.
Yeah, definitely not things that are beneficial to having good heart health. You know, eat a bowl of fucking Cheerios or something instead.
I mean, I thought if New Jack survived the Danbury fall, where 400-pound Vic Grimes fell on his head and squashed it on the concrete after jumping off like a 30-foot-tall scaffold. If he survived that, I thought he could survive anything.
Agreed. You know, on Dark Side of the Ring, he was saying he couldn't sleep because he cracked his head from that incident. But I blame the cocaine. I mean, like, if you're doing you have to blow out a fucking day, like, of course you're not going to sleep. Don't blame the crack in your head from this bad boy falling on you.
He also blamed that for why he kept stabbing people in the ring later in his career. And it's like, you were doing that before.
I'll do it again, too.
I beat another case.
I'm going to miss following him on social media and seeing all the shit he talked. Because he replied in the comments, too. Like, just, you know, post. Like, you... take shit, you know, or not take shit, I should say, and call these fuckers out. But it's funny because, you know, his wife is kind of doing that now instead, you know.
It's Pro Wrestling Tees has some new New Jack merchandise where the profits go to his wife now. And I might have to buy a New Jack Memorial T-shirt.
Oh, I should get one too. I mean, he was one of my favorites. I mean, I remember in junior high when I discovered ECW and, you know, instead of doing homework in the library, like for study hour or whatever, I'd go to ECWWrestling.com and I'd watch all the clips of him jumping out shit. And then I would watch all the flaming tables from Balls Mahoney, too. I'm surprised they didn't ban me. Like, what sites are you looking at, mister?
Yeah, that's too bad. I was really contemplating sending you a New Jack cameo for your birthday. And I guess I can't do that now. His cameos were great. Like, if you can go on his cameo site, if they're still up, like, they got examples of the ones he did. And
Didn't he have one where he had the big old fucking knife, the buck knife? And he's like, I'm going to coach you.
I think he had a lot where he did that. A lot of threatening of violence to the people who were on the receiving end.
Funny word.
But anyways, we should probably jump into our podcast episode here, where we're going to provide unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. And, you know, this first article reminded me of New Jack. So I had to throw in the bombs away. As New Jack said, you know, when he was describing his scaffold match against Vic Grimes, where he threw him and allegedly tried to kill him.
It wasn't allegedly. I mean, he said he was trying to hit the floor. I didn't throw him hard enough.
I taser him. And he says, Jack, I can't feel my legs. He's like, you ain't going to need them. But anyways, let's get into our first article. It's from Fox 32 in Chicago. And the headline is, 29-year-old woman killed after man who jumped off building landed on top of her. This was literally every New Jack match.
I got high and I jumped off some high.
I got to get high to get high. So this is from San Diego, actually. A 29-year-old woman was killed in a freak accident when a man who appeared to have jumped off of a building landed on top of her as she walked below, according to a San Diego County Medical Examiner's report. Taylor Kale was walking through the East Village in San Diego on April 25th with a date when an unknown adult male between 20 and 30 years old fell from a parking structure.
Fell. Where's the air quotes for that?
You know, they switched it up real quick because they said he jumped, and now they're saying that he fell.
Yeah, you know, they don't know who landed on her. Did he survive and run away? Like, he didn't break his fucking legs landing on this girl?
I don't know. It says witnesses said he had been hanging off a railing on the 9th floor balcony before dropping to the ground. He was later pronounced dead at the hospital, according to the report. Kale died at the scene. Kale was an only child and leaves behind her father and two rescue dogs, Rue and Stella.
Well, that's dogs important. Didn't rescue her.
That's important that we get the dogs' names in there. Yeah. I mean, he's hanging from the 9th floor. He's probably doing some hardcore parkour.
Like, how does she not notice that somebody's hanging off the fucking edge of this balcony 9 floors up? Like, there isn't a crowd of people being, you know, like in all the movies, they're like, he's going to jump. Remember other guys when, was it Will Ferrell was like, I don't believe you're going to do it. Just fucking do it. Just jump. Oh, he did.
Oh, that was such a trope in the movies back in the day. Like, let's see.
Then you got the fireman with the little trampoline. They're trying to, like, you know, position underneath them.
Well, yeah, like Lethal Weapon did it. Trying to think of other ones. I just watched Stopper My Mom Will Shoot, and they had a scene in there where a guy was gonna jump off a building because he had a broken relationship with his mother or something. Yeah. And so, like, Stallone's mom had just flown into town kind of against his will, and like on his way back from the airport with her, like, he stops at this jumper scene. And he just runs up the stairs and he goes out on the ledge to talk this guy down. And his mom is on the ground and she gets on the megaphone and is like talking to this guy. And he's like, but mom, no. And then she like starts talking about how he wet his bed or something and like starts showing pictures of him with diapers.
No. Oh no.
Like throughout the whole movie, Stallone's just, but mom, don't do that, mom. And the guy who was gonna jump, he eventually, like, he's like, I wanna go inside now. And he starts, you know, he goes back inside and he starts walking down the stairs. And all the other cops start coming up. He's like, you gotta help that guy. He's got real problems. Yeah. But oh, I know there's a bunch of other movies that had that same deal where they, you know, these cops are just on their way, to, you know, just having the normal
there's
day.
There's a few. I mean, the other guys had two scenes, you know. One was a little bit different. It was The Rock and Sam Jackson in the beginning of the movie where they're chasing the guy and they had a zip line, the bank robbers, the ability thieves, whatever, had a zip line down to the ground. And then they cut it so they can do it. So The Rock and Sam Jackson were like, aim for the bushes. And they just jump and there's no bushes anywhere.
There ain't no bushes.
But I mean, there was a whole movie called Man on the Ledge. I mean, fucking was on the ledge to distract everybody to go rob, you know, his crew to go rob a bank or something.
That's one of those movies where I like, you know, it's on these premium channels I have on cable and I'll record it from time to time, but I never watch it. Like,
it's an okay movie. I mean, got that one guy that was an Avatar and that Terminator 4, whatever that is called, Salvation. I think it's fucking name though.
Like, it seems like an interesting premise, but like, I for whatever reason, I just can't pull the trigger and watch it.
I wouldn't watch it now either. Back in the day, I watched everything.
But yeah. A lot of movies about this. I swear I saw a video online not that long ago, maybe a few months ago, where it sounds like a similar situation where the dude was like cheating with a girl and like her boyfriend or husband came back. And so he's hanging naked outside of the third floor apartment window, you know, until the boyfriend or husband like leaves so he can get out of there. And I can't remember if that guy fell or if he like scaled his way down the building, but like it sounds like a similar situation. This guy's just hanging from the ninth floor railing. Like, what reason would you have to be hanging off the railing? Like, unless you had like you were suicidal, and then you had second thoughts or something, and you just couldn't pull yourself back up.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Like, you know, have you seen those videos of people on skyscrapers and they're jumping from like pillar to pillar or post to post, whatever?
Oh, yeah.
And then you know, there's one there was this one couple, I don't know who it was, but you know, he's like holding his girlfriend by one arm like off the fucking ledge, and they're doing all these different poses just like hanging off the edge. One of those, you know,
then they do the GoPros, so it's the POV shot, you know.
Yeah.
And then they like look down and like hang over the head. I don't really have a problem watching those, but like, God, I could never do something like that.
I just scream idiot the whole time. I'm just idiot, idiot, fucking idiot.
Once in a while, you'll hear about one of them, you know, falling off and dying.
I'd like to see those videos, but.
I don't know if they make it, you know, maybe they get uploaded to the cloud. I mean, those GoPros are pretty tough.
Yeah, I think the memory card would survive. You know, if they're streaming live, you know, that video is somewhere.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, those usually try to get hidden, you know, because, like, I think you could find people dying on YouTube for a while, like car crashes and shit. Those were some fucked up videos. Facebook used to have them, too, where they really crack down on content.
Well, Facebook also had that guy who was streaming live as you went on a murder spree.
Oh, I think that was 4chan.
No, it was a dude on Facebook. He was just rolling around and just shooting random people on Facebook Live.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you know, I don't doubt it, you know, because there's been a few instances of that. I guess I was thinking of that one in New Zealand Christchurch or whatever city was called. That one was 4chan. I only remember that one because of the fucking QAnon doc that was on HBO or Vice. I can't remember now.
The killer on Facebook was a black guy. So he wasn't like, he was just crazy. Like, he wasn't a zealot or, you know, a supremacist or anything like that. He was just nuts. Like, he was just psychotic.
Sounds about right.
But I don't know how they got, I think they eventually scrubbed all those videos out, but like it was out there pretty wide. I can't remember how long he was streaming, but like, I think he killed like maybe three or four people. Like, he would just roll up to them, you know, walking down the sidewalk, and then get out of his car and just blast him in the chest. So let's get back to the article. Maybe it's less depressing than what we've been talking about. Laurel McFarlane, Kale's boss and close friend, told Fox TV stations she got the tragic news Monday morning. He, Kale's father, called me and told me, McFarlane said through tears. Well, that's nice of Fox to, you know, put her through that. Kale was a fun-loving spirit and touched many people's lives, according to McFarlane. Kale had started working for McFarlane as an intern, and from there, a friendship blossomed. She loved to have fun, just like everybody who listens to this podcast.
Yeah, we've talked about that a few times. Like, are they going to ever say she hated to have fun?
She loved to have fun, but she hated to laugh. I've known her for 9 years. She kept everyone on track, McFarlane said. She used to be so shy, and she blossomed into a take charge and considerably strong woman, which we need more of. She learned to use her voice well. Obviously, she wasn't very physically strong because she might have caught this guy and not tied.
Yeah, I'm so confused how you don't fucking notice. Like, some fuck is falling from 9 stories above you. Like, there's no screaming. This guy was completely silent the whole way down. Or was it like that, you know, one of those, I got it, like playing baseball in the outfield. Like, I got it, I'm catching.
That actually makes me think of a Seinfeld episode. So there was an episode where George got a job at a sporting goods company. And like, he got in trouble for using the boss's private bathroom or something, or I don't know. But anyways, like, Kramer wanted to start his own business. And he hired an intern, and like, his idea was like to have a bladder for oil. Like, I don't know, like to transport oil, you'd have like a bladder. And so he used one of the like playground balls at George's company to test it. And so like, they were up on like the fourth floor of the building, and they filled this ball with oil, and like Jerry's girlfriend or something was going to meet him outside. And she's standing below the window as they drop the ball. And they're like, well, she'll get out of the way, right? You know? She gets it right in the head. Like, she sees it coming, but there's nothing she can do. She's like totally, you know, frozen. Like
frozen.
I can't remember all the other stuff that surrounded it, but it was pretty impressive. Like, I think George was faking an injury or something so he could use the handicap bathroom. And then like, they locked him in like a supply closet. Like, they moved his office to like a supply closet or something.
Sounds all right.
Oh, but it was Seinfeld's a great show. And you know, that reminded me of Kramer and his intern, who's like, he's not paying this guy, he's not giving him college credit because he's not a real company, just dropping this fucking giant ball of oil from the fourth story to see if it'll survive the fall. Just landing on Jerry's girlfriend.
I assume it busted and went all over your face. It was like blackface.
I can't remember if they showed the impact, but I think they probably cut before it hit her, and then just kind of talked about it in the next scene. I don't think they actually showed it. It's just like, well, I'll never see her again. You know, that type of thing.
Well, yeah, back in the 90s, that's probably the best way they would do it without someone actually taking it in the face, you know, because now they would just CGI it.
Yeah. I could see Larry David doing something like that on Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know. But
let's get back to this article, because I see all these pictures where it looks like she's a little bit of a lush and maybe banging her boss. Like,
maybe
this second picture got a dozen six packs at least here. It's like, well, 15.
We'll see if that theory holds up. It says Kale had not only worked with McFarlane, but she helped her outside of work like an assistant. But McFarlane considered Kale more of a daughter than anything else. She was like a daughter. I loved her, McFarlane said. She was amazing, especially during the pandemic, which was hard. It sounds like you took advantage of her. You treated her like an assistant, but more, you know, she's my daughter. So, like, I make her do stuff for me. McFarlane owns and runs her own promotions business. And since the COVID-19 pandemic, business had gone down significantly. She was forced to cut down on her staffing to just a few people, which included Kale. She just did her job and did it well. She was happy to do it, always with a smile, McFarlane said. I don't think she was ever seeking gratitude, and I don't think she realized how many people she really touched. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on here. Are these O'Douls? What are these?
Well, it feels like they just reused a bunch of six packs.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe they're condiment holders now, like at Famous Dave's.
Elysian? I've never heard of it.
I'm not sure.
There's a lot there. They're definitely luscious. I mean, the first picture, they're drinking margaritas.
Yeah, and the next one, they had red Solo cups. McFarlane said that some days she'd be working with Kale for a full 24 hours, but she wouldn't want anyone else by her side, especially during particularly busy events. And I bet she didn't pay her overtime for it either. You go through.
She's an intern. I didn't pay her anything.
You get experience. That's it.
Alcohol. Just paid her in alcohol.
You go through so much crazy stuff together, McFarlane said. We'd be like going to battle together. Why did they ask so many questions from her boss? Like, is there nobody else, like no relatives or anybody that has something nice to say about her?
No, I'm just getting a picture of, you know, remember when Mr. Garrison turned to Mrs. Garrison for a while and you just wanted to go scissor everybody? He's like, let's go scissor, 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 scissor.
I don't even know how two women could do unless they just kind of scissor each other.
Jesus.
Were you never even thought of being with a woman? No, I haven't. Kale had plans to celebrate her 30th birthday on May 2nd by going to wine country with a few friends. Her father had planned to be their designated driver. He even bought a chauffeur's outfit complete with a hat to play into the illusion, McFarlane said. Why would you treat your dad like that? Like, you can't just invite your dad to come along? Like, he's got to, like, sit in the car all day?
I guess he feels better, you know, being like an official driver. So, you know, he feels included more that way than staying around sober the whole time.
What's weird, like, if you're going to get that drunk, like, maybe you just do something with your dad later.
Call a fucking Uber.
like, wouldn't you be embarrassed to be that drunk in front of your parents? Like,
yeah. Well, if she's a lush, I mean, it's probably just common knowledge. At
probably
this point.
Normal.
Yeah. Hey, my boss needs to pay me by taking me to this wine country thing. Can you drive us?
Well, here, McFarlane said she loved her dad. She moved in with him recently because he had to have some minor surgeries. He loved her. He only wished for a daughter and father who had a relationship like that.
That'll starting, be me and my daughter in a few years, except I'll be the lush and she'll be the one driving me around.
I can see that. You'll be in the back seat smoking weed and, you know, take me to the McDonald's.
I have a coupe. I'd be in the front. I'd be right there trying to like grab the wheel. Turn this way.
Drive faster.
Turn fucking right now.
Drive faster. Just pushing her foot down so on smart. The gas.
My VA to sit in traffic.
There's still, I mean, this McFarlane lady has like so much quoted in here. He's Kale's dad, in parentheses. He's having his ups and downs, McFarlane said. And when you ask how do you go on, you just have to live life for the people he's lost. He's finding out how many people his daughter has touched and how many hearts he touched. And that's a great gift for any parent. She keeps talking about how many people she touched.
find your OnlyFans site. Oh God, that's a lot of subscribers.
Oh, Kale's father is in his 70s and has taken in both of his daughter's rescue dogs. No mention of her mother throughout any of this or any siblings.
That little dog looks high as shit. Right on.
It probably is.
I think the other dog's high too, but he's kind of like freaked out by it. Like, he's just, the way she's holding him looks like he's standing up like a person almost.
She probably pours wine in their bowl. Or it's like, you know, in Jingle All the Way when Arnold, after he punched the deer and then they started bonding. And they're like,
why is there water in my cup? Where's my wine? Oh, shit, it's in the dog's bowl again. Mixed it up.
Like, they have another one on me, buddy. She loved people, loved her brunch. Of course she loved her brunch, and I'm sure her mimosas. And going out with friends, and she liked going to concerts and festivals. We went to Mardi Gras together a few years ago just to have fun. She was a fun-loving spirit. She had a lot to get over with her mother's death. Oh, I guess the mother's death. And she kept trying to live her best life, McFarlane said as she choked. They talked way too much. They talked way too much to this McFarlane lady.
It's like a elongated obituary for her, which seems like a good person, in all honesty. But there's like zero about the guy who fucking jumped off 9 fucking stories, like, and died before she did. Like, what about this fool that was driven to suicide? Like, how great was his fucking life? Did anyone interview his family?
They don't even know
how he'd like to drink with his boss. Like,
how badly mangled was he that they didn't even identify him? Like,
they don't even know how old he was, 20 to 30 years old.
They said he was an adult male. Which, I mean,
probably illegal and came from over the border since it's in San Diego. And they're like, he's just not a person. We can't, we got to focus only on this chick.
That could be. It is a Fox station, so, you know. But it's weird, like, Fox 32 Chicago is reporting on a San Diego story.
I'm sure this is syndicated. I'm sure that, you know, we could have found it in the local Fox San Diego one.
Oh, here at the end of the story, it has is the suicide prevention hotline, you know, just in case. Because, oh, by the way, somebody committed suicide here. Well, I guess that guy's boss didn't have, like, you know, an hour's worth of time to talk about him.
Yeah, there's zero about the dude that committed suicide. But I don't want to trash these suicide or mental health lines, but, like, you know, if you're feeling like shit, when talking to some stranger that really don't give a shit, like, if you need somebody there with you, like, are they going to come and support you? They're like, no, call us back later. Like, it just further elongates, you know, how depressed you are.
Yeah, I don't know how they work. I don't know.
Or do they send the police and they shoot you? They're like, oh, don't commit suicide. We'll kill you for you.
I think they try to talk you down and, like, oh, think of all the stuff you got to live for and all the people that love you. And then I think it's all volunteers. Like, I don't think it's like, I don't know what kind of training they get, you know, other than,
I don't know. Yeah.
You know, don't talk about stabbing and.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just a little crazy me, but do you think they just record all this shit and then, like, all the counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists all across the country, and they're just creating these big psych profiles, and they just data mine it of how crazy everybody is, and they just fuck with everybody's head because everybody's spilling beans to strangers that really don't give a fuck about them.
I have no idea. That's a pretty big conspiracy.
It is. I have no proof of anything, but... I was up to like 5 in the morning this morning, so I had a lot of things on my mind.
I do wish, though, that they had more info on the guy that jumped. Like, was it a suicide? Was it, like, some kind of gangland murder where, like, they threw him over the ledge and he's, like, hanging on because, like, he owes the money and he just, like, slipped, or, like, you know, they smashed his fingers until he let go, or... You know, is it like a vanilla ice Suge Knight situation?
I'm sure there's some surveillance camera footage somewhere somebody has to have, right? Like, maybe this will show up eventually.
Well, and if he was hanging off the railing, like, I don't know how long he was hanging off the railing, but, like, somebody must have seen it and got a video of it. Like, people get video of everything these days.
Yeah,
like exactly. Even if it, like you said, even if it's, like, security footage, like, maybe from a company across the street or something.
Yeah, like, ridiculousness always has shit, you know, falling off the tops of buildings and people just missing it, right? Like, you know, this one didn't miss, obviously, so...
Or like, I mean, cars,
there's gotta be something like that.
Or like cars driving, you know, off the top of a parking ramp and falling, you know, to the ground, you know, in the alley below.
What, fast 8 or fast 9? What's fast are they on now? 9's the new one.
I think 9 is the new one.
That must have been 8. All them cars were falling off the parking ramp. The last movie.
I saw Hobbs and Shaw, but like, I've seen like the first like 10 minutes of the first Fast and Furious and I turned it off because I was so like irritated at how dumb it was. And I haven't seen any of the sequels. Like the whole street racing scene at the beginning pissed me off. Like, this is so dumb. Like, there's 20,000 people out here and not a single person's calling the police. Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, I'm a big fan of Fast and the Furious. Like, that first one, we used to hang out at the drive-in theater all the time. And I saw the movie about 100 times that summer.
I take that back.
We go there every fucking night and watch it.
I take it back. I saw Tokyo Drift at least 3 times because you kept putting it on demand and then falling asleep with the remote in your hand on a death grip.
Yeah.
That
wasn't quite my favorite. Transporter 2 and Trinity, Blade Trinity, but it was my go-tos.
Yep. I saw those ones several times. I think episode 3 of Star Wars was another one, which I liked in the theater, but by the time I saw it like the 4th time, I was like, this isn't very good.
Fifth Element was one I could never, ever get through. It took me fucking years. It took me about 5 years to make it all the way through that movie. Like, I don't know. There was something in it that would just make me pass out. But then when I finally made it all the way through, I didn't have that problem anymore. Like, it just went away somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah, that's how I've been with the movie 7. You know, I've tried it a couple times. And, like, I don't know. Like, I fall asleep after, like, the second or third victim. And then, like, I wake up and the fucking... the credits are rolling. I don't know what it is. Like, I've heard it's a good movie. It seems like a good movie, but like, I can't make it through it. I might give That's it another funny. Shot though. Well, I hope we don't put you to sleep, listeners, because we're going to take a quick break and then come back with our next story. All right. Welcome back. Our next story is from People. And the headline is, fight between students ends with mom seriously injured after being hit by a car driven by another parent. Quote, it's an unfortunate incident that we do not tolerate on our school campuses, end quote, a Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools spokesperson said. I put this in there specifically because it sounds like something you might do.
Like, it's, I used to have to send a pickup line to get my kids and, it's intense, you know. There's people that try to get to the front of the line. I don't give a shit as long as my kids can see me.
Right.
Wow, they can walk. They can walk far to the end of the line. I don't give a shit. I'll be walking.
This actually reminds me of. I just rewatched the movie Serial Mom, and have you seen that?
I don't think so.
It's a John Waters movie, but it came out in the 90s, so it's like not quite as outrageous as some of his earlier stuff. And it's like Kathleen Turner and Sam Waterston are a married couple, and Ricky Lake and Matthew Lillard are their kids. And they're like this perfect, like, Leave It to Beaver family, like, just everything's perfect. Except for the mom is, like, absolutely psychotic when people aren't around. Like, she makes crank calls to her neighbor that she hates and, like says all this vulgar shit to her. But there's like a scene where she goes to a parent teacher conference and like she doesn't like how it goes. And so like afterward she's leaving the parking lot and she sees the teacher walking out and she just absolutely runs him the fuck over with her car. And it's like a dark comedy. Like she goes on this killing spree, you know, and like, but she's still acting like, you know, June Cleaver, like the perfect mom, you know.
Those perfect families are obviously the craziest. Why can't they just settle it after school? Like, what's that one movie with Charlie, what's his face, and Ice Cube's school fight or something?
Fist fight.
Fist fight, yes.
Going down 3 o'clock in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
That movie's hilarious. It's one of the better comedy movies to come out the last few years.
Oh, my God, the whole scene with him dancing with his daughter at the talent show. I don't fuck with you. However that song went.
Oh, it's so good. So good. Tracy Morgan is great. He's like the fucking gym coach, but he's just Tracy Morgan. So like everything he says is just hilarious. Oh, it's so good.
Tracy Morgan had a close call not that long ago. I mean, it's been a few years now, what, 5, 6 years? With that Walmart semi-truck driver.
Oh, yeah. Like he's back on tour, or he was back on tour, I think, before the pandemic hit. But, yeah, he was on life support, I think.
Yeah, he was fucked up. They didn't think he was going to walk or form anymore. Like, you know, he's made a big comeback.
How's he going to make jokes about getting people pregnant, you know, if he can't walk? I'm going to get you pregnant.
Maybe the third leg still works. He's got enough money where he could still probably get some ass.
Well, I think he's married, but I'm positive he's.
Well, I think Walmart paid him at like what, a couple hundred mil for that.
Oh, probably, yeah, lots and lots of money. Because I think I forget what the deal was. Their driver either was like on his cell phone or he fell asleep or something. I think they said he fell asleep because he was on like the 12th hour of his shift. And
I think he had been up like 2 or 3 days straight, strung out like on some upper pills that he got at the gas station.
Yeah, something like that. And then they're like, oh, we don't let our drivers go for more than 6 hours at a time. Like, bullshit.
Oh, no, 6 hours. That's less than a normal shift. Yeah, it's probably at least 10.
Yeah, but you like, got to take a break in there, right? Like, you can't. Like they don't make you go 8 consecutive hours at work.
I don't know. I'm not a semi-truck driver. I remember there's one guy that tried to clip my mirror. I was birching up from Maxwell Road to 494. And there was some construction on the bridge going over the river. It was still an old bridge at the time. And I don't know. I tried to get in front of the semi, but he sped up instead of trying to let me in. Like, what a fucking jackass. And and then he passed me, and then he tried to come in my lane and clip my mirror with the front of his truck. So we called him called in the dispatch on him. We're pulling him over right now.
I hate driving next to semis on the freeway, because every time you get by one, they put their blinker on and start trying to move over on you.
Yeah,
like I don't know how many times that's happened to me, and like, fuck, I gotta get out of here because this dude, like, they don't even look, they just go.
Yeah, I don't drive but on the side of them if I can avoid it, you know. I usually speed past them, or if I'll slow down and stay behind them.
Well, who you should avoid is this parent in Kansas City, Kansas. A fight between middle school students in Kansas City, Kansas ended up with a parent getting seriously injured. The Kansas City, Kansas Police Department said Tuesday that a group of students at Carl Bruce Middle School were fighting when a parent was hit by a car driven by another parent. This afternoon, a disagreement between a small group of female students at Carl Bruce Middle School ended with a parent sustaining serious injuries when she was struck by a vehicle driven by another parent. No students were injured, said the KCPD in a statement on Twitter. the identities of the students and parents had not been released. You know, I've seen
the next line real quick says the police department then encouraged parents to speak with their kids about how to handle this disagreement. I think the kids should speak to the parents about how to handle it.
Oh man. I've seen quite a few stories recently about parents getting into fights with students and stuff like that. Like a couple weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about an incident at a school in Florida where a mom was visiting the principal with her daughter, you know, earlier in the day, and then they were leaving the school and intentionally walks through the cafeteria so the daughter could pick a fight with another girl, and then the mom joined in, and the mom had a boxing glove glued to her hand from the time she got to school. Like, and there was no explanation for why she had a boxing glove on one hand and she couldn't get it off.
It sounds like Brock Lesnar's brother going to bars in South Dakota. Just going there to pick fights with teams.
We did it for fun. But
I saw a girl fight right in front of my apartment a week or two ago. I don't think I told you, but I was looking out the window, and then this one car is parked next to the curb. There's no parking spots right in front of my window. And then this other car pulls in right around them, and then they come up, walk into this car, which is it's a nice looking BMW. It's kind of an older one, though, I think. And then they get out, and they start yelling. And then all these people are like, there's people working in the yard and shit, and I'm looking at it, and then they just start fucking catfighting, like right there. And one threw the girl's phone like across the parking lot, and then the dude's boyfriend came out and broke him off, and then they start walking away, and they ran and got her again. But it was just like little, like nobody got hurt, like. But it was a good 10 minutes of entertainment for sure.
You should have yelled "World Star" out the window. World Star!
Oh, that would have been great.
Or get on the WWE.
If I wasn't looking through the screen, I would have got a video of it. But the screen, the angle made it look all black. It was all fucked up. But
get on the WWE Network and find a Joey Styles clip to turn up. Cat fight!
I still yell that when the girls fight. You don't see too many cat fights now, but they would just roll around and their skirts would go up immediately.
You cut out there.
I screeched. My voice.
Oh.
I went back to adolescence for a second.
I didn't get any audio on that.
That was probably for the best.
Anyways. I go, there's more statements here from the police. Folks, we cannot stress this enough. Please, please teach your children how to handle disagreements and then model the same behavior. Confrontation and escalation never end well. I wonder if this is like that lady that ran over her boyfriend a few months ago and then like he died, but like she got out. You know, like she like drove away and then came back and like got out of her car and she's like, stop being so dramatic. Jeez. You know, and he was just fucking like bleeding out. He fucking died. I wonder if the parent.
Fucking wild.
I wonder if the parent who ran into the other parent is like, stop being so dramatic. God, she's just a drama queen.
I mean, we're living in full on Idiocracy now. Like it's here. It's not 500 years in the future like the movie. It's fucking, it was only like 5 years in the future.
Pretty
smart. Cool. People are not having babies because of the world we live in. It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, this is true. I was trying to say earlier, like I've seen probably like four or five other articles in the last like 3 or 4 weeks about parents getting in to fights with their kids at school, like joining the fight on, you know, that their kid was having with another kid.
Yeah.
And it's apparently very prevalent these days for parents to escalate it instead of fucking not escalating it or like pulling their kid off, you know.
The social media age, and it's our fucking generation that's doing this. Like we've regressed.
Well, everybody takes video instead of helping now, you know? Like nobody wants to jump in. They just want to record it. Not that that we're better, you know?
I mean, no one recorded from the first article. Like, I mean, is there a recording for this one? Can we find?
I don't know.
That's the other thing I don't understand is people, you know, a lot of these times they are recording, but they're recording their crimes. And it's like you're creating evidence against yourself.
Yeah, that I don't understand. Or you could make a whole ass music video, like professionally produced music video, talking about all the crimes that you've committed in the last couple of weeks. All the felonies you've done.
EBB, what was it called?
Was it like EDD?
Yeah.
You got to sell cocaine, I just file a claim.
Still the best line out there today.
Well, Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools spokesman Edwin Birch told the Kansas City Star that the students had been shoving and pushing one another shortly after school was let out at 3 p.m. The situation escalated to include parents, Birch told the outlet, ending in one of the parents being hit with a car. It's an unfortunate incident that we do not tolerate on our school campuses, Birch said. What are you going to do to stop it? Like, I mean, don't let parents drive their cars on the parking lot?
All cars are banned. You got to pick your kids up down the block, too.
I would laugh if he's like, it happens, you know. yeah, we do tolerate. We tolerate it, but, like, we don't like it. We prefer not to happen.
Wait, we encourage fighting and getting in your car and running people over when your fists don't work?
This is conflict resolution 101. We don't want to hurt any feelings here. So, you know, I don't want to question anybody's methods on how to end the conflict. Kansas City, Kansas Public Schools, along with the KCKPS Police Department and the Kansas City, Kansas Police Department are working together to investigate an incident that happened outside Carl B. Bruce Middle School during dismissal, KCK Public Schools said in a statement to local ABC station KMBC. Early reports suggest a parent got into a physical altercation with some of the students from the school. One of those students' parents showed up at the scene where the argument continued. The statement continued. We are hearing from witnesses the parent in the earlier altercation got into their vehicle and hit the other parent, causing injuries. This is now a Kansas City, Kansas Police Department matter. There's a lot of Kansas's in here. KCK Public Schools did not immediately respond to people's request for comment. The KCPD is investigating the incident, and anyone with information is asked to call the tip line. Now, they don't have any information on who these people are. They didn't identify anybody involved, so I don't know how you would know. I guess if you were there, you might know, but... Like, I assume if you were there, you already talked to police.
I don't know if you noticed this, but the news is doing this a lot where it's all, you know, this person did this and this person did that, but they don't identify anybody. Like that first article with the suicide guy, they never even mentioned the name or anything about him.
Right.
And a lot of these crimes now, they're not putting names out there, and they think it's going to stop the mass shootings, but I don't think that's going to do it. You know, they're still going to get notoriety one way or the other. But
well, I think a lot of the stuff, like it loses its weight when everybody's anonymous. Cause it's like, you could have just made the story up. Like you have pictures
like that, right?
Like you got pictures of cops, you know, parked in the parking lot and statements from the police, but like, you don't have any witness statements. You don't have any like video. You don't like, there's nothing, no identifying, you know, of the people involved. Like the details are really vague. Like, I mean, this could be made up for all we know.
You don't know. And then, you know, it's the whole mentality has changed because, you know, all the serial killers got all like famous in the 70s and 80s, like Dahmer and Son of Sam and, you know, all those guys, because the thought was, if we put these people's name, they're going to be shamed and their family's going to be shamed and this and that. And now, you know, after Columbine, I think it was, they realized that they're getting notoriety and that's what they want. And,
yeah.
You know, then we get this full on, we don't know if it's true or not because you're not putting any details in here anymore.
Well, part of it too is journalists just fucking suck these days because they don't answer the questions who, what, when, where, and why. Like they might answer like two questions, like, oh, it was at
the. I think they might just stay inside and write these. I don't know if they actually go out and investigate it. Like, there might be a few papers that do, like Washington Post and the
New York Times
or something.
But I'm like, sure People doesn't.
No, it's probably some guy just cruising Twitter.
Well, they, you know, they got the tweet from the Kansas City Police Department, and then, you know, there's a like a press release from them. It sounds like as well, and maybe from the school, and then like there's a local source that. Talk to the spokesman at the public school, but like no
details. It's like all those articles where they're like MMA does this a lot, John Jones will tweet some bullshit and then they'll write an article, John Jones doesn't want to fight for less than 30 mil, and then John Jones deletes the tweets and he's like, where are these people getting this shit?
It's so lazy, like journalism today is so lazy.
But the article is just basically, you know, summarizing the tweet, and that's it. Like, it's not anything extra or above and beyond, or going out and interviewing the people that he's talking about, like Dana White or Francis Ngannou, you know.
A lot of times they'll see the tweet and then they'll guess what they mean by it. Like, they're like, there's some deeper meaning behind these tweets, or these, you know, cryptic tweets. What does it mean? Like, you don't fucking know. You're just guessing.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if our third article has better journalism. It's I pulled the article from CBS News. I could have pulled a New York Post one, but I figured I'd give CBS a little shine here for there.
This might be the first time that there's been no New York Post articles that I've been a part of. So we'll see how this goes from CBS News.
I feel like maybe the last one you and me did might have, oh, maybe there was one on that one.
I think we did all three New York Post last time.
I can't remember. We do a lot of New York Post.
Only because we like the first line. Every article has it.
They bring the entertainment factor along with the journalism. So the headline is, seven arrested after spiritual leader's mummified body found decorated with Christmas lights in Colorado home. Like how they said spiritual leaders. I think it might have originally said cult leaders.
This article one says cult members arrested. The video. This video clip that they have says cult members arrested.
Okay. I think New York Post definitely called him a cult leader.
I kind of heard about this. I'm intrigued to get into this article and learn more because I forgot what's going on here.
Well, this must be close to you in Colorado. Authorities have arrested seven people after the mummified body of the leader of the spiritual group Love Has Won was found wrapped in a sleeping bag and decorated with Christmas lights in a southern Colorado home. Amy Carlson, 45, who is known as Mother God by her followers, was found dead in a home in the tiny rural town of Moffitt on Wednesday, April 28th, according to arrest affidavits for seven people who are each charged with abuse of a corpse. Jesus. CBS Denver reports a member of the religious group told the Saguachie County Sheriff's Office that the group had his two-year-old son and wouldn't let the boy leave. The follower told investigators he knew the woman as Laya Carlson, L-I-A, and a Saguachie County Sheriff's Corporal wrote in the affidavits that Carlson is believed to be the leader of the group. It's unclear why the follower provided the name Leah. Okay.
Did you not check her ID? Like, that's a weird line.
Well, it says earlier her name was Amy. I wonder if she went by this Leah or Laya so that she would appear less white. I don't know. Because Amy is like the whitest.
Oh, he
of white
said,
names.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like they probably knew her as that because that's what she told them her name was. You know?
I mean, if you ever bought weed from the black market, I mean, they're not giving you real names 9 times out of 10.
The follower who has not been charged told investigators he had taken in a group of people who needed a place to stay, and he found the body in a back bedroom when he returned home Wednesday following a trip to Denver. He reported the discovery to police and said he believed the group had transported Carlson's body to his home from California. So this is a interstate type of crime here. A sergeant searching.
Wait a second. So they went from Denver to California with his dead body?
No, California to Denver. So they found it in, or no, it was in Southern California. No, Southern Colorado, sorry. Colorado is where they found the body. The guy who owned the house.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Had gone right to now. Denver, and then when he came back, he found the body in a back bedroom, and he thought that they had brought the body from California to Southern Colorado.
That's wild. That's like a Weekend at Bernie's type shit. Like, they probably sat her up in the car the whole way. Oh, she's just tired. She's got, what's that shit? She fucking, need the.
Oh, narcolepsy? Like, falls asleep all the time?
No, the road sickness, Dramamine. They buy Dramamine at the gas station for that shit. This is wild, but why?
You know, I wonder, a few months ago, MTV had an episode of MTV Ghosted. I know you don't like, you haven't watched that show. You're kind of over the MTV
stuff.
It's
so stupid. Yeah.
But this one woman went on there looking, you know, to reconnect with her friend. And, like they used to live in a commune, like they met at a commune or something, like for like spiritual healing or some shit.
Yeah.
And then the friend just kind of like up and disappeared one day. And it turned out like she was like doing yoga lessons or like she was a yoga instructor. And so they ended up like booking a session with this woman to get in contact with her to see if she'll talk to her old friend again.
Yeah.
And this woman's like, I left because it was a fucking cult. Like, it was bad. Like, they're brainwashing us. Like, I had to get out of there. I had to sever all ties to it because I didn't know who I could trust. And
that's
I think they pulled the other woman out. They got her out of there at some point. But, like, from the get-go, you could tell, like, yeah, she's probably in a cult. Yeah.
I mean, that show is just so creepy. I mean, like, they're not even necessarily dating most of the time, right? They're just like friends that just lost connection. And
yeah, sometimes, yeah.
It's just, you know, it sounds like the best of intentions, but it's like you're helping a stalker find the people they're trying to stalk after they lost connection. They're reconnecting the stalker to the people that don't want to talk to them anymore.
And then they pressure the other person to come in and talk to this person and tell them like why they left. And it's like, that's fucked up, dude. I'll tell you what, I don't think it's as fucked up. Like it's fucked up. And I think only maybe one time somebody refused to meet with the person who came on the show, which I'm surprised it's happened more often. Like they just flat out refuse. Like, no, I'm not talking to this person again. Leave me alone.
They probably don't even air those episodes.
Well, I don't know. Like I think most people like cave because like they feel cornered. But anyway, so like Ghosted is bad. Like it's like a reverse catfish, you know, like helping the catfish if I can catch the prey. But like what was worse was they had a show called MTV Suspect, and I assume they've finished, like they're not doing any more of it because it was on a few years ago and they did one season.
Was that the one where Deeb and Yo or Io was going around trying to solve crimes or something?
No, so it was like somebody would have a friend or somebody in their life who they thought had a secret that they were keeping from them. And so they called MTV to come put their friend on national television so that they could tell them what their secret was that they were keeping from them.
Oh God.
And it's like, so they won't tell you, their close personal friend, what their, you know, what their secret is, what they're hiding. But you want them to tell a national television audience.
I mean, that's got to be written, right? Like, that's not real, is it? Like,
I don't know.
Just came and they're like, fine, I'm fucking gay.
One of them came out as trans. Like, one of them, like you're acting weird. Like, you look like you're, you know, your body's changing. It's like, yeah, because I'm fucking transitioning. You know, like, I didn't want to tell anybody. Like, I wasn't ready. And I forget what the other things were, but it was like stuff like they didn't want to tell their friends, or like they weren't ready to tell them something, or, you know, whatever. And like, yeah. I'm going to force you to tell it on national TV because I'm that narcissistic that I have to know all of your secrets. But I thought that was like the worst. And you'd like to think these things are rigged, but you see these people that are on there and it's like, these people think it's real. Like, these people legitimately think this is a real thing that people do. Like, this is fucking insane that these people live in this world.
Yeah, right? It's fucked up.
And I bet you some of them are in this cult. Well, that lady that was on Ghosted might have been.
Yeah, I'm curious if they'll do like a documentary on this lady. Like, I don't know much about this cult, but I was just watching this one on Vice. It was called The Devil You Know. It was about Sherry Schreiner, who I don't think I've ever heard of before, but she was kind of like, but she was basically Jesus, like in some sort of way. Like, she had a direct line to God, and she was preaching His word through blogs and YouTube videos and shit. And they would internet bully people and just completely destroy their lives. And a couple of people died, you know, when they got kicked out. One girl thought she was going to go see God and then come back to life again or something. Like, she was on a mission. It's fucked up. Like, it sounds something like our mom would listen to, but.
No comment.
Yeah, it was fucking weird. It was like 7 episodes of straight, like, listen to this lady talk trash, and then she hid in the woods, in the backwoods of Ohio or something like that. And then this one dude was trying to hire a PI to go investigate her because she was saying smoking cigarettes and eating junk food and this and that was against God. And apparently it was all the bullshit she was doing. Like, I was trying to, like, just give me a video if you're smoking. She died at like 50 something years old, maybe early 60s. Like, she was real young.
Oh yeah.
In the scheme of things.
Do you remember a few years back they had a dramatic miniseries and also like a documentary about David Koresh and the Waco.
Yeah.
And like, both of them made it seem like he was just minding his own, like he wasn't that big of a piece of shit. But like, the government got in there and like they totally fucked the whole thing up and ended up, you know, burning everybody alive, you know. And
that was another one that said he could talk directly to God and he didn't have to study the Bible because God was telling him what to do or something like that. Right. Like, he come up with his own shit.
I think he was having babies with all the dudes' wives and shit, but
like, he said they couldn't have babies, but like he had like 20 kids and then yeah. I think they all died.
But like, like, he wasn't necessarily like harming people, and it wasn't like one of those ones where like it was a mass suicide thing, and it was just like, you know, all these people living on this ranch, like kind of coexisting, and yeah, there's a lot of kind of weird stuff going on, but like nobody's really getting hurt. Like he's not, like it didn't seem like he was like abusing people, like in like a general sense. Like he wasn't like raping kids and stuff like that. But like the government kind of like infiltrated it, and then they're like, "What do we do?" I don't know. And then I think what happened was they got in a firefight with them, and like for like they hit some. I don't know, like they like
gassed. Well, they were stockpiling guns. They were stockpiling guns, and they were shooting them in the, you know, Texas land that they had. They had this huge ranch, right? But, you know, I think they were getting worried because they were getting, like, grenades and AKs and shit. Like, I mean, they completely bungled the response to it, for sure. I think they tripped up and, you know, overplayed their hand, and then they couldn't admit it was a mistake. So then they basically went to war for these people for how long was it? It was like 30 days, 35 days or something.
Something like that. But I think they had something like flammable inside the house or whatever. And they're like throwing like flashbangs or like gas grenades or something. And it caught it on fire. And that's why it burned down. Like it was such a fucking like miss, like, a total fuck up by the government on, you know,
and I think it was like, I don't think anyone was in the right there. Yeah. And then Fresh wants surrender. Like they only wanted him. They would have let everybody else go, but he sacrificed the whole fucking commune.
But that's, I don't know. They made
him and Sherry Schreiner are the similar. Only except Sherry Schreiner did her strictly online and got 3% of money. Like she made almost 800,000 in 7 years or 10 years, whatever it was.
They should have sent Catfish on her.
They totally could have too. Like they would send out little chunks of something to what was it, to blast away the spirits or something like that. Like I forgot, like Oregon, I think they called it. It was like spelled like the state without that first E. It was just war gone. I don't know what it was. It looked like lacquer, like dry lacquer with a bunch of like shrapnel in it.
Who's that guy? There's this guy who advertised late night on it's like always on like TV One or BET. He's got like the prayer cloth, and then he had something else recently where you know, it's like that green cloth that you pray with. And I think he had something else that he was sending out for free that I saw recently. And he's like, just pray on this and wish for whatever you want and you'll get it. Like you could, and like they all these like testimonies, like I wished for $15,000 and I got a check the next day in the mail. Like, this is bullshit. Like how stupid are people? You know, he's been doing it for a long, long time though. He's probably in his 90s at this point, but like, you know, he dyes his hair.
What's his face? Robertson?
No, not him. It's a different guy. I forget his name. But he always like advertises on the black channels for some reason. He's just preying on the black community for some reason. But he's been doing it forever. Like he's been doing it like probably 40 years. But or he'll send like prayer water or something. Like it's all this bullshit, you know. And then like, you know, you send $50 or something to him.
I don't want no prayer water, it turns the freaking frogs gay.
Well, you should talk about this cult leader, because this is actually kind of interesting. A sergeant searching the home said the remains were decorated with Christmas tree lights set up in some kind of shrine with glitter makeup around the deceased person's eyes. Investigators searched an SUV on the property and said the back seat was laid down in a position consistent with someone transporting the mummified remains. The Seguachi. I
mean, that's a stink.
Well, if it's mummified, does it still smell? Like, did they legit mummify her? Like, pull all her organs out and shit? The Seguachi County Coroner's Office has not said when Carlson died. Has not released the cause or manner of death. Two children, a 13-year-old girl and a 2-year-old boy, were in the home at the time. CBS Denver reports authorities later identified the arrested people as Ryan Kramer, Christopher Royer, Sarah Rudolph, Karen Raymond, Jason Castillo, John Robertson, and Abdulia Franco. They were booked at the Rio Grande County Jail in Del Norte, each charged with abuse of a corpse and two counts of child abuse. Jesus.
Their mugshots look how you think you look. They kind of look like the Manson family in a way.
A little bit. The two on the bottom right, like there's four on the top and three on the bottom. On the bottom row, the two on the right are like looking off camera. It's kind of like Mitch Hedberg's sister. You know, everybody's looking just off to the side, but my sister's looking straight on because her eyes are fucking... She's got one eye looking straight on. She's cross-eyed.
That dude on the bottom right is definitely has one eye on the camera.
According to the affidavits the sheriff's office has received, many complaints... I read that weird. According to the affidavits, the sheriff's office has received many complaints from families across the country saying Love has won, is brainwashing people and stealing their money. Carlson's followers believe she communicated...
Wait, can we ask why many complaints is in parentheses there? Or quotes? I mean, many complaints? Is that not... Actually,
that's a direct quote from the sheriff. That's uncorroborated, I guess. But it's according to the affidavits. So like, those are sworn statements under penalty of perjury. So Carlson's followers believe she communicated with angels and that she was leading them to a great awakening, the Denver Post reported Monday. The group, which established itself in Southern Colorado in 2018, offers, quote, spiritual intuitive ascension sessions, end quote, and sells spiritual healing products online.
Why are all these people getting sucked into this great awakening? Like, if there's always, you know, a handful of people or more that will follow somebody that says they talk to angels, they talk to God, they fucking, those, you know, it's so obvious they're selling shit to make money off these fools. Like, I don't know. I'm not a religious person myself, so maybe that's why I see the bullshit immediately, but I don't know. Even if you believed in God or if you were Christian, like, wouldn't you know that this person's just trying to manipulate you at some point?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't understand it either. And it seems to happen a lot. Like, there seems to be a lot of people just, like, latching on to people like this.
Oh, he's
woman.
Religious. He's talking to God. He wouldn't do anything bad to us.
Right.
In this case, right? Like, it's just, no, you can't, you gotta be like Stone Cold Steve Austin and DTA. Don't trust nobody.
And who said that watching wrestling for 30 plus years didn't benefit us in any way?
There's a lot of great life lessons, more than I learned in church.
I don't think I could argue that. I mean, church, they kind of repeat the same stuff. You know, they do it for a year and then they start over and do the same stories again.
Yeah, I mean,
how many times do I have to go to church? I've heard this story, you know, every year since I started to come to church. Let's get some new stuff in here. Anyways, yeah, I don't get it. Like, it's, I don't know. People are just preying on these people who are, I guess, looking for answers and like are lost, or maybe they didn't have, you know, parental, you know, guidance as a child. Like, we kind of mentioned it too, like these people that want to rely on the government for all their decisions. It's like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you know, now, you know, if it's not the government, it's a cult leader, or if it's a politician, or it's, you know, it's just ridiculous to me that these people just follow this stuff and like they'll fight to the death that it's the truth. It's like, no, but it's
they
not.
Don't want to admit they're wrong and made a mistake, or
Well, they take it as a personal attack on themselves. It's like, no, like you're just wrong. Like I'm trying to help you.
Yeah. Yeah. And the worst thing is the more you tell them they're wrong and you provide facts, the more they'll buckle down and put up a wall against you.
Crazy. But I mean, that's,
if you're in, well, at least if you were like with Marilyn Manson back in the day, you were tripping on acid and having a good time. Like, I don't know if these people are doing fun drugs at all. It looked like they're doing math or something, but that's not a fun drug in groups, at least.
You said Marilyn Manson. I think you meant Charlie Manson. Because
I said with Manson. I didn't say it personally.
I think you said Marilyn Manson. I was going to say, based on things that I've heard recently, it doesn't sound like everybody was having a good time with Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. They grew out of that phase and they're like, what the fuck did I do?
Like, oh, I guess his rape room really was a rape room.
Oh, he did everything he said he did? Oh, what? Where?
Shocked. Shocked, I tell you, that this guy that everybody called the Antichrist was actually kind of a bad dude.
He's a superstar, though.
Oh, boy.
I do love me some Marilyn Manson, though. He's got a lot of good songs.
He's okay. I never got super into him, but there's some stuff that he did that I kind of like. But anyways, feel free to follow the Positively Wolfie podcast as if we were a cult and recruit other members of the cult to come listen to us and worship us as the gods that we are.
Wolfie's the second coming. We must bow down.
I talk to angels. Like, who is it?
The girl dog.
Like the Black Crow's girlfriend or whatever. Maybe
the dog was Angel. There's Angel at McDonald's.
I should have used that joke at the beginning. If I knew that she talked to angels, I might have sung a little bit of that song instead of. I took that out of the A Revolutionary Act. That's Jim Jones. And I know that because Tech N9ne has a song where he has a sound clip of Jim Jones at the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
Talking to his cult. We're not committing suicide. We're committing a revolutionary act. They won't let us live in peace. Let us die in peace.
Wild.
I think it's funny that they wrapped her in fucking Christmas lights, though. Like, they must have killed her. Like, it must have been some deal where, like, you need to kill me so that I can ascend to heaven and bring you guys with me. And then, like, she didn't think it through, like, to have them kill themselves first.
Maybe she died taking hydroxychloroquine for her COVID, and then the COVID got her, and then fucking they didn't know what to do with her. So they're like, we're going to weaken Bernie's at her and continue it on.
I'd like to know if they actually mummified her, though. Like, if they actually, like, pulled her organs out of her fucking, you know, out of her nose.
And then she's probably sitting in the shit, you know, when she flushed her bowels after she died.
Oh, yeah. They probably just wrapped her up. You know, it's not even Christmas. They're going to open her up before Christmas. This is bullshit.
Like, these people don't look like they know how to shave or get a haircut or take a shower. So I doubt they know how to mummify anybody. I don't think that's a video you can find on YouTube. Like,
I'm guessing no. But anyways, let's wrap this up. Like I said, please subscribe to the Positively Wolfie podcast. Tell your friends and family, anybody you think would enjoy it, to come join us on this and future episodes and past episodes too. If you're on Apple Podcasts, hit up that rating and review section and drop a 5-star rating on there. If you want to write up a nice review too, that would be awesome. Apparently that lets people know that we're a good podcast and that people should listen to us. I don't know. You can follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. And if you want to email us, it's PositivelyWolfie@Comcast.net. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.